There's a scene playing out right now in restricted airspace somewhere over the American West. A brand new aircraft, the most advanced stealth bomber ever built, slides into position behind a tanker that's been flying since the Eisenhower administration. A boom locks in, fuel flows. Two completely different eras of American air power, connected by a hose. I'm Tower on ATIS, and this is Radio Hangar. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Simple Flying ran a piece this week that puts into sharp relief something military aviation planners have known for a long time. The future is built on the past. Specifically, it's built on a Boeing airframe that first took flight in 1956. The Boeing KC-135 Stratotanker has been refueling American military aircraft for over 65 years. It was designed to support B-52 bombers during the Cold War. Aircraft loaded with hydrogen weapons flying missions that, thankfully, never had to happen. Today, according to Simple Flying's reporting, that same airframe will be tasked with refueling the Northrop Grumman B-21 Raider, the most technologically advanced strategic bomber the United States has ever built, and it will keep doing that job well into the 2040s. Let that sit for a moment. The KC-135 entered service in 1957. The B-21 Raider is working toward initial operational capability in the mid-2020 when they fly a mission together. In, say, 2042, the tanker will be approaching 85 years of service. The bomber will barely be a teenager. That is not a typo. That is the United States Air Force. So how do we get here? And what does it actually mean? Start with the B-21. The Raider is Northrop Grumman's next-generation long-range penetrating strike aircraft, designed as the eventual successor to the B-2 Spirit. It's a flying wing configuration built for low observability and architected from the ground up with what the Air Force calls open systems integration. That's a technical way of saying, when new threats emerge and new technology becomes available, you upgrade the software and swap out modular components rather than spend billions on one-off modifications to an airframe that was never designed for them. That lesson was learned the expensive way with the B-2 program. The Air Force has ordered at least 100 B-21s. Some estimates suggest the eventual buy could go higher, depending on strategic requirements and budget realities, but 100 is the floor. The Raider is not a close-range aircraft. Its entire operational concept is built around striking targets deep inside heavily defended, contested airspace, the kind of threat environment that would make older aircraft very uncomfortable very quickly. To do that job, the B-21 has to be able to get there. And getting there across the distances the Air Force is planning for requires fuel that doesn't come from a runway. Aerial refueling is not new. The United States military has been doing it in one form or another since the 1920s, but the modern boom and receptacle system, where a boom operator on the tanker flies a rigid telescoping boom into a receptacle on the receiver aircraft, is essentially the Air Force's standard. The B-21 uses a receptacle, which means it needs a tanker with a boom. The KC-135 has a boom. The KC-46 Pegasus has a boom. Both are in principle compatible with the B-21. The word in principle is doing some work in that sentence. Here's what compatibility in practice actually involves: the refueling envelope, the speed range, altitude band, and geometric window in which a receiver aircraft can safely take on fuel varies by aircraft type. The B-21 specific envelope is not fully public for obvious reasons. But what we know about stealth aircraft in general is that their external shapes are optimized around radar signature management, not aerodynamic convenience. Flying formation with a tanker involves a set of compromises that the engineers who designed the aircraft have to account for from the start. The KC-135, despite its age, is an extremely well-characterized tanker. Boom operators who fly it have been doing so for decades in some cases. The procedures, the feel of the controls, the behavioral quirks of the aircraft across its operational envelope, all of that institutional knowledge is built into the flight manuals, the training programs, and the heads of the people who fly it every day. When you're refueling a classified stealth platform in contested airspace during a high-stakes mission, that kind of known quantity has value that's genuinely difficult to quantify on a capability chart. The KC-46 Pegasus, Boeing's newer tanker, is a more complicated story. The Air Force accepted the first KC-46 in 2019. The aircraft is based on the Boeing 767 airframe and represents a significant jump in fuel offload capacity over the KC-135. It also carries passengers and cargo, making it more operationally flexible than the dedicated tanker it's meant to eventually replace. But the KC-46's early service history has been rougher than planned. The most well-documented issue involved the remote vision system, the camera and display setup that replaced the direct view bubble window position where boom operators traditionally sat. Early versions of the remote vision system introduced image distortions and depth perception problems that created real safety concerns during refueling operations. The Air Force placed restrictions on the KC-46's ability to refuel certain receiver types until Boeing could resolve those problems. Boeing developed what they're calling the Remote Vision System 2.0, a next-generation version of that system, but the certification and fielding timeline stretched out considerably from what anyone originally projected. The result is a tanker fleet in transition. You have the KC-135, old but proven and trusted, you have the KC-46, capable but still working through its growing pains, and you have the B-21 arriving into that environment and needing both of them to support its mission. The Air Force's plan is to run both fleets in parallel. Different tankers for different theater requirements, different mission profiles, different force packages. That's not an unusual military aviation strategy. It's how the Air Force managed the B-52 and B-1 Lancer together for years. It's how they're currently managing the F-15 Eagle family alongside the F-22 Raptor and the F-35 Lightning II. Multi-type fleets have costs in terms of training, logistics, and parts support, but they also provide flexibility and redundancy that single-type fleets don't. Now there is an eventual solution on the horizon. The Air Force calls it the Next Generation Air Refueling System, NGAS. The concept envisions a tanker that can operate in more contested environments than current platforms, with higher fuel offload capacity and survivability features that neither the KC-135 nor the KC-46 can offer. As adversary air defenses become more sophisticated, the ability to push a tanker closer to the threat, rather than holding it far from the fight and stretching the receiver's range, becomes operationally significant. But NGAS is not around the corner. Requirements are still being defined. The competitive acquisition process between Boeing, Airbus, and potentially other bidders will be lengthy, and if KC-46 is any guide, contentious. The Air Force has learned hard lessons from tanker procurement. The legal fight over the original KC-30 tanker competition in the mid-2000s dragged on for years before the KC-46 contract was finally awarded in 2011. They're not eager to repeat that experience. Even under an optimistic schedule, operational NGAS aircraft are unlikely before the mid-2030s. And then you still have to build enough of them to replace the KC-135 fleet at scale, train the operators, develop the tactics, and retire the old airframes responsibly. That's a decade-long process, even when everything goes right. Which brings us back to where we started. The KC-135, for all practical planning purposes, will still be flying when the B-21 is in its operational prime. It's worth saying clearly, the KC-135 flying today is not the same aircraft that rolled out of Boeing's Renton facility in the 1950s. The Air Force has invested continuously in the airframe. The Pacer Crag modernization program updated navigation systems across the fleet with modern radar, compass systems, and global positioning receivers. Multiple engine generations have come and gone. Many KC-135s were re-engined with CFM International CFM56 turbofans through the re-engine program, dramatically improving fuel efficiency and reducing the aircraft's smoke signature, which was, to put it diplomatically, quite noticeable on the originals. Avionics have been updated, structural inspections have extended known service life, and digital systems have replaced analog ones across major aircraft functions. The structural engineers who've done deep maintenance work on the KC-135 often note the same thing. The original Boeing designers built in margins that nobody expected to need this long. The jet age was young. Engineering conservatism was high. Nobody in 1956 was writing a service life extension plan that projected beyond 2030. They built solid, and solid turned out to last. This pattern is not unique to the KC-135. The B-52, the bomber, the KC-135 was literally designed to feed, is itself expected to remain in service into the 2050s. Rolls-Royce recently won the contract to re-engine the entire B-52 fleet with new F-130 turbofans. When those aircraft complete the re-engine program and serve out the rest of their projected lives, the B-52 will have been flying for approximately 100 years. 100 years. The Wright brothers were still alive in 1952 when the prototype first flew. Today's Air Force is planning missions for it in the 2050s. There's something in that which doesn't fit neatly into a press release or a budget briefing. It speaks to the gap between how we talk about military procurement and how it actually functions. The ideal acquisition model is clean. Old platforms retire, new platforms arrive, capability continuously advances on a predictable schedule. The reality involves budget cycles, political risk, industrial base considerations, and the simple fact that legacy systems accumulate operational trust that cannot be packaged and transferred to a newer aircraft through a contract modification. The boom operators who fly the KC-135 today carry knowledge that was passed down from instructors who were themselves trained by the original operational community. That chain of knowledge represents decades of real-world experience with aerial refueling across an enormous range of conditions: weather, geography, receiver types, emergency procedures. When the B-21 slides into the refueling envelope for the first time in operational service, the person on the other end of that boom will know what they're doing in a way that matters. That's the story that doesn't make the capability charts. The KC-135 will refuel the B-21 Raider into the 2040s. Not because it's the most advanced tanker available, but because aviation doesn't run on capabilities alone. It runs on people, procedures, and the kind of institutional knowledge that only comes from doing something the hard way for a very long time. Sources for today include Simple Flying, the Air Force Times, and publicly available Air Force program documentation on the KC-135, KC-46, and B-21 programs, more at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Stay ahead of the airplane.